From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he begins the seventh message in the series with the title, Unfailing Guidance for the Unknown Future. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in Mark chapter 14 and verse 72. And when he thought thereon, he wept. It has been thought by some that as long as Peter lived, the fountain of his tears began to flow whenever he remembered his denying his Lord. It is not unlikely that it was so, for his sin was very great, and grace in him afterwards had a perfect work. This same experience is common to all the redeemed family, according to the degree in which the Spirit of God has removed the natural heart of stone. We, like Peter, remember our boastful promise, "Though all men shall forsake thee, yet will not I." We eat our own words with bitter herbs of repentance. When we think of what we vowed we would be, and of what we have been, we may weep whole showers of grief. He thought on his denying his Lord, the place in which he did it, the little cause which led him into such heinous sin, the oaths and blasphemies with which he sought to confirm his falsehood, and the dreadful hardness of heart which drove him to do so again and yet again. Can we, when we are reminded of our sins and their exceeding sinfulness, remain stolid and stubborn? Will we not make our house a bochim and cry unto the Lord for renewed assurances of pardoning love? May we never take a dry-eyed look at sin, lest ere long we have a tongue parched in the flames of hell. Peter also thought upon his master's look of love. The Lord followed up the cock's warning voice with an admonitory look of sorrow, pity, and love. That glance was never out of Peter's mind so long as he lived. It was far more effectual than 10,000 sermons would have been without the Spirit. The penitent apostle would be sure to weep when he recollected the Savior's full forgiveness, which restored him to his former place. To think that we have offended so kind and good a Lord is more than sufficient reason for being constant weepers. Lord, smite our rocky hearts, and make the waters flow.
Oh, yeah.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. The message we're about to hear, entitled Unfailing Guidance for the Unknown Future, was preached on New Year's Day of 1995, and in the course of the message there will be some references to that occasion. Yet the biblical instruction set forth here is an encouragement for God's people at every point in their Christian lives. The text is Joshua chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, which records the preparations for the children of Israel to cross the Jordan and begin their conquest of Canaan. The people will be preceded by the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant. And in verse 4, Joshua tells the nation, "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, there is here a note of obscurity, of the unknown. And yet there's also a note of opportunity. Israel had failed God many times in the previous 40 years. Now, new opportunities lay before them. Now, for the opening portion of this message, here is Dr. Cairns.
We're returning to Joshua, continuing to look at these opening chapters of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 3, and we're reading together the first five verses. Joshua 3, verses 1 through 5. Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. It came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, "When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. That yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way heretofore." And Joshua said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We want to examine these opening verses of Joshua 3, but there will be particular emphasis on the last statement of verse 4. "Ye have not passed this way heretofore." Last October, I had the privilege of visiting Windsor Castle, where I spent some time going through a very ancient church in the grounds of the castle. In that church, many of the kings and queens of England lie buried. On a wall in the church, I found a plaque that commemorated probably the most memorable lines that King George VI ever spoke to the British people in all his many broadcasts to them. You should know that it was, and it still is, the custom in Britain for the monarch to address the nation on Christmas Day and to reflect on what has happened and upon the year to come. King George VI had the unenviable task of doing that on many a Christmas day that was very dark and bleak for a nation either at war or recovering from the awful hemorrhage of war. And King George was a very poor speaker. He had a very decided stammer. Didn't like the work of having to address the nation at any time. Added to that, he was a man of great personal shyness. So it was a great ordeal. And yet, despite all those negatives, I think of all the monarchs broadcast either by George or by anyone else, he it was who touched a chord in the heart of the nation with the words that were commemorated, or are commemorated, in that plaque in Windsor Castle. He quoted this poem. "I said to the man at the gate of the year, 'Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown.' And he replied, 'Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be to you better than a light and safer than a known way.'" Though the words of Joshua and his officers in our text this morning were different from King George VI's words, his message to Israel was very much the same. As we stand on the threshold of a new year, we can identify with the children of Israel as they stood on the borders of Canaan, as both King George the Sixth and Joshua reminded their people, before us lie untrodden pathways, unknown ways, but we are not left to tread them alone. We have a sure guide to lead us, to guide us every part of the journey. I want us to look at our Bible reading this morning, and I want us to think very carefully, very simply, upon this theme of unfailing guidance for the unknown future. When I read these words, I mark first of all that we face an unknown future. The word says in verse 4, ye have not passed this way heretofore. The nation of Israel was passing forever out of the wilderness into the promised land. Israel was going to face dangers, oppositions, warfare, and conquests that she had never known before. She was going to enter into possessions that until then had only been a dream. And though Israel went forth in faith into the promised land, the people knew nothing at all of the particulars of their journey, either of their entrance, of their battles, or of their occupation of Canaan. Before them, there was an unknown way. And as we stand here, we are in a totally similar position. And over this entire year, indeed over every minute of this year, we may write the words of verse 4, ye have not passed this way heretofore. In those words I find there is a note of obscurity, speaking of a way that we cannot see. We may think that we have great wisdom, we may analyze things as best we can, but we must remember the words of Proverbs 27 and verse 1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Before us, in the will of God, there stretches a year. But we don't even know what a day will bring forth. We have no means of penetrating the darkness of the next 24 hours, never mind of the next 12 months. There is here a note of obscurity. We stand in great ignorance. Should I say, it is a blessed ignorance. It's a merciful ignorance. We do not know whether we will be ill or well. We do not know whether we will live or die. We do not know whether our plans will flourish or whether they will fail. There is a shroud of obscurity upon the future that lies before us. But when the Scripture says you have not passed this way heretofore, it is sounding another note, and it is a note of opportunity. We haven't been this way before. There is, in one sense, a clean page to our book. There is a new start. There is a new opportunity. The Apostle Paul spoke of the opportunity that God gave him for service in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 9, when he said, a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We can certainly say that 1995 is for us the opening of a great door. It is the opening of a door of opportunity, an opportunity to do things we have never done before, an opportunity to experience things we have never experienced before, an opportunity to succeed where in the past we have failed, an opportunity to spread the gospel where heretofore we have never brought it, an opportunity to enter into the fullness of God in a way that we have never in our lives known. We look back with a lot of mixed feelings. We look back with praise to God and thanksgiving for the mercies with which He has hedged in our way. But we look back with a great deal of shame. We look back with a great deal of guilt. We look back upon failures and fallings. We look back upon sins and iniquities. We look back on things that grieve the heart of God and grieve our heart as well. But as we look forward, there is the opportunity to do what Paul speaks of in Philippians chapter 3, to forget the things which are behind, to reach out to the things which are before. We have the opportunity to step out of the shadows of the past into the bright light of the promises of God. We have the opportunity to leave behind us the tawdry mess of our failure and our sin. And by the grace of God and the pardoning mercy of Christ, and by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, to step out with determined power and to know what it is to grasp the opportunities of grace. There's no better time for us to take our stand with Paul in that great conviction which I have just quoted. There is no better time than the very first day of the year to say, let the things that are past be behind. I put them under the blood of Christ. Whether they be successes or failures, they're past. And the only use they have for me is to instruct me and warn me and educate me for the future. But the past is past, and it is time to face the future with my hand in the hand of the Savior, my trust in the person of the Savior, and my way directed by the wisdom of the Savior. There is a note of opportunity. There is also a note of discovery. We have never trodden the way that we are to take. But while that is true, let us understand that that way cannot confront us with anything absolutely new. It cannot confront us with anything that either we or other believers have not faced before. That's a comfort to us, because the unknown future sometimes can cast such fear into our hearts that people live in dread of what may happen instead of living in the expectation of what God promises will happen. There's a day of discovery before us. We will discover the sovereignty of God. We discover that He is on the throne. That throughout this year, as throughout every other year, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. We will discover in this year, as the psalmist says in the 76th Psalm, the wrath of man shall praise Thee, and the remainder of wrath wilt Thou restrain. We will this year have fresh evidence of the sovereignty of God. What a confidence that gives us as we step forward into the unknown, that our God is on the throne. He rules angels, He rules devils, He rules men, He rules nations, He rules people, He rules things. He is the sovereign God. All things, even the wickedest actions of the ungodliest of people, done with the most malicious purposes, even they are subject to the sovereign control of our God. Let us step forward then to this area of discovery, knowing the sovereignty of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.